My next guest is already on the line. He is Desmond Latham. He is an aviation expert, but he's so much more than that. Desmond, thank you for being with me on Chai FM this afternoon.
Simon, I see my checks are not bouncing that I'm sending you. That's really
Desmond, thanks, can I tell you something? I'm definitely going to go rogue. I mean, I definitely have a plan to ask you about the LL Airlines share price, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But way more interesting to me is your History of South Africa podcast, of which I'm probably your biggest fan in the country.
You know, when I started it a couple of years ago, I took a real shot in the dark because of the topic, the subject matter. You know, one person's history is another person's propaganda and all those things. But it's just, I'm approaching 3 million listens. People around South Africa are so supportive. It's just been extraordinary, actually, how I think it's a hunger for some kind of storyline that's not simplified or that has nuance. So I've tried to be as real as possible with it. So that's the long answer. Yes, it's just taken me totally by surprise.
We're going to come back to that. Because honestly, I've got a massive smile on my face. You can hear it. I feel like I'm speaking to one of my heroes. But I do need to talk to you about the LL Airlines share price, which yesterday just increased enormously and today fell back down again. And what is the reason for that?
Well, for example, I think that it had been dropping moving around quite a bit. So I think it's shareholders taking day-to-day activities. I mean, late yesterday, there was actually one of the Houthi missiles did make it through and struck the airport. There were two people injured, which I don't know is well known, but this did happen. There were four missiles fired from Yemen, yes, and one got through. So I think there's a bit of nervousness, but I mean, all planes were flying within 2 hours of that incident. So, you know, you've got to look at the investor. LL doesn't have, there are other airlines flying in, but there have been reduced flights because of what's happened over the last 2 years and since October 7th. So LL basically is hiking prices. They can charge almost what they want at this time.
Yeah.
Well, not quite. I mean, there's Air France flying in. I think United is flying in. Was it Delta? I can't remember. Anyway, there are flights. There's Ethiopian Airlines is flying. So there's a long list, actually. But the big thing here is that the list is shorter than it was. So I think there's still the demand. And then you've got to look at what's coming up. I mean, it's a busy time of year, isn't it?
Coming up
for holidays.
Absolutely.
Rosh Hashanah.
Absolutely.
I mean, end of September. So as shareholders are looking at this saying, well, there's a lot of people are going to be flying and supporting family at that time. Then there's Yom Kippur on October 2nd. I mean, the airport is actually shut down on that day, strangely enough. But the before and after that day. So that's, you know, a couple of weeks away.
Desmond,
and the way shareholders work, they always look at the near future. Those who are buying and selling, you know, rapidly, not the top investors who look at a far longer period.
I find this really interesting because, believe you me, what I know about aviation is frightening. But I happen to be following a story about Wizz Air talking about opening a, and I don't know what the correct word is, it's almost like an Israeli subsidiary, but they were going to open a hub, that's probably a better word, a hub based out of Ben Gurion Airport. And the Israeli aviation industry, the local Israeli aviation industry, was saying this is the beginning of the end, that if Wizz are allowed to do this, they just will not be able to compete with the Wizz offering, and it'll end badly for them. Which is why I was surprised that in that week of that story making news, the LL price went up.
But I mean, yes, Wizz Air is coming. I mean, they only restarted operations in August, so they've got big plans. It's not as if they've been operating constantly of this year. But the stock performance, if you look at LL share price, it's up 66% this year alone, and last year it gained 130%. So, you know, it's one of those shares that's rising and it's riding on demand, and demand is still climbing no matter what happens in the locale, in the region.
Interesting.
And there's still a demand for flying. So you look at those numbers, and a few shekels lying around, you'd say, okay, well, the likelihood of LL selling more tickets going forward at a higher price is good. And so you would be putting more money in, even though the share has risen quite a bit, as I've just said, over the last 2 years. That's year on year, obviously. You'd still say, as a long-term investor, I'd put some money into it if given whatever's happening, I would still think long term on that because people have to fly. You can't take a ship, it takes too long, and you can't go overland. So we're kind of in a corner here as passengers. We have to buy these tickets. And if we have family around the world, we've got to visit them. So, and they bank on that. The airlines bank on that.
I've got 2 minutes left, and I'm sorry, I'm taking you back to your podcast now because truly, I think if you pull your stats, you'll see I'm probably one of your most loyal listeners. I think hearing you speak in pronounce words that only have consonants in them and no letters is really rather entertaining. And I wondered how on earth you learned to pronounce those Khoisan words, which you do.
Well, funny enough, Zulu is my first language. So in my head, I'm not as those, some of those clicks are not entirely like 100% right. And with the isiXhosa, because I'm English speaking, so I have an accent in Xhosa and Zulu. But I learned Zulu first, and Zulu has four main clicks. And from there, it deals with the part of your mouth that does all the work for all the other clicks. So that's the answer, is that I have to practice, obviously. You don't just wake up in the morning and start reading. Because I don't speak Khoisan or San, and that's far more demanding on the speech process. But that's the answer. As I learned to speak, Zulu is my first language. I learned to speak in the 60s on a farm. So
Unbelievable.
I still dream in Zulu, and I speak to my brother and my sister-in-law in Zulu. They're English speaking, but so you get the picture. It's kind of, and I speak Afrikaans. I'm fluent in Afrikaans. So being able to speak local languages has enabled me to get into people's heads more effectively. You know what I mean? It allows you to see things in different perspectives, and that's all about, I believe in seeing the world accurately is honoring people's cultures and learning about them. And the way you learn the best is to speak a language, because then you infused in your bones with a kind of sense of what's happening.
Couldn't agree with you more, and you understand the body languages and the nuances and the unspoken language, which is every bit as important. Desmond Latham, I have got a smile from one side of my face to the other. I'm having you back, and we're going to discuss the podcast, The History of South Africa, which is truly wondrous. And thank you for talking to us on Chai FM this afternoon.
Thanks for phoning, Simon, and thanks to all the listeners for listening.